Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I thank God, I thank God, I thank God. Well, I'm going to turn the program over to Minister Sheila so that she can pray for us and share whatever the Lord has given her, and then I'll come back with what God has given me. I'll let you know that it was very strange. He just kept pouring and pouring and pouring into me for a few days now, and so I'll let you know I have about over 60 pages of things that he's given me, but I do not believe I'll be going through all of it, because I love how the word reminds us how we're the first partakers of the message. And so I will be sharing today whatever he gives me, and if there's a part two or three, I'll let you know. But I do believe that it's mostly scriptures, so it's definitely food for my soul. Minister Sheila, if you can go ahead and pray with us and for us and for the listening audience today and in the future. Go ahead, ma'am.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Excuse me for the noise. I'm outside. I want to thank the Lord for blessing us with another day of life. Each day that he gives us of life, I call it another birthday. It's another day to learn the graces and the mercy and the love that the Lord has given us. But if it wasn't for him, we would not be here today. No matter what you think it is, alarm clock, the neighbors, the noise, or whatever, if it wasn't for the Lord, you would not able or capable of hearing it. So God, I give honor to you. Ahead of my life, the Father and the Son that have blessed us with life and made this earth for us to live on and in, and with the other sisters and daughters, sons, daughters, and teachers and leaders of life through God. God, I give honor to Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Margot McCoy, Evangelist and Missionary Tony Montgomery, and Linda Handy. I give honor to all that is here today, and to bless the families that's going through trials and tribulations and loss of loved ones. I give honor to my sisters, my brothers, sons, daughters, granddaughters, grandsons, cousins, all my bloodline family, and also my spiritual family. But Lord, I thank you today, and I ask you to bless us through this government, that they lead us the right way. But it was put in office for all of us, not just some of us, no matter what your color is, your creed, your religion, your race, your sex, that we are all sons and daughters of God. In his son, Christ Lord Jesus, I give honor to bless this law enforcement that they bring the right men to this office to serve us all and to treat us all as one. We need your help more and more each day through this virus to cure us all and to let us know that through you, you will set us free with the love and the joy and the righteousness of you, Lord. I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. And no matter what we're going through, our household, family, jobs, neighbors, or within ourselves, God is the way it can lead you out of any troubles, illness, finance, or whatever you're going through. Just turn it over to God, and he should show you the way. But Lord, again, I thank you, and I thank you. I cannot thank you enough for another day of life. So thank you, and amen. Back to you, Apostle.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Minister Sheila, for that prayer. And even in the prayer, always reminding us about how we have a responsibility to people and to others to do whatever that job is or that call is that God has given us, and we have to do it based off of whatever agreement we made And some of those agreements are implied, and some of those agreements are actually in writing. They've been codified in writing. And so that means we have to do whatever that thing is that we agreed to do. And as she was saying, whether it's a policeman or a congressman or a politician, whatever it is that we've agreed to do, we need to do it. So I was talking to a number of people, you know, not just people in the church, but I was talking to a number of people on my job, because we're getting ready to go into the evaluation phase of our job, where we have to be evaluated, because although I am a director, I'm also an employee. So that means that not only will I evaluate my team, I will be evaluated as such. And so sometimes when it becomes evaluation time, people get pretty nervous. They get pretty, some will give themselves a true evaluation, and some will play the blame game. Whatever they did not do was somebody else's fault. And I thought about how we've had leaders in political parties that have done that all the way to the White House. And so I thought about that, and I said, well, a lot of times when we elect various officials, we don't have the opportunity to tell them what our expectations are. We don't have the opportunity to help them understand not just our expectations, but the standards for which we live by, which are some of the things that Minister Sheila had prayed. And so I was like, God, but as people, don't we have the obligation to tell people how to handle us? Don't we have the responsibility to tell people that this is what I like, this is what I deserve, this is what I require? It talks about how in the Bible, how Jesus went unto his own. Wait a minute, let me just read it for you. Where is it? I have it on this paper. And so it says in John, first chapter 11 and 13, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So in order to receive that gift of being sons, there were standards, criteria for that. You know, you had to believe in your heart. You had to confess with your mouth Jesus Christ. You couldn't be wavering and saying you were with your mouth, but then your heart wasn't in it. And so I love how the confession from your mouth and that which is in your heart must align. And so I was wondering, I said, God, those are types of promises and vows and contracts and covenants that we make with God himself, and he makes with us, and I thank him for it. And he's so faithful, and he's so covenant driven that I thought about how one of my relatives had looked at a few other relatives, and he said, is so-and-so married? He said, because I see a player spirit on him. I see a spirit of lust on him. And I thought to myself, I said, well, from cleric to cleric, shouldn't he have felt an obligation to tell him what he saw? Because if he really saw it, and it was something that could save that person's life or the call on their life, why would he mention it to others and not to him? And I realized that sometimes people won't tell you things because you don't have the approachable spirit. But I also realized that sometimes people don't tell you stuff just because they gossip or things of that sort. So my comment to them was, why don't you tell them? And if he did, he may have or he may haven't. But the reason that I said, why don't you tell him, was because telling me did what? To me, it just said, okay, you feel that you saw something. Now I can pray with them for you and with you, but tell them. And I thought about how Minister Sylvia had been going back and forth with what we call a wannabe, because we don't know if she is or not, and how in the past the wannabe had attacked me on a number of occasions verbally and various things. And so I just blocked her and said I'll pray for her from a distance. But what I realized is that marriage is a covenant. There's an implied covenant and contract that we make when we decide to sin against God. And I want you all to work with me here, because like I said, we're the first partakers. And so when we have a marriage vow, we have license, and in some countries they don't do the paperwork. They just, you know, have other various rituals that they go through in order to establish that particular vow. And so we know how the Word of God talks about how the sins can basically go from generation to generation. And so marriage, the covenant of marriage, is something is generational as well, because there's blessings and inheritance and various things that can come from that. But there's also sins that we as people can commit that is generational. I thank God that a sin of having children out of wedlock and being a person of fornication and things of that sort was broken by my son. I'm going to brag on him. Although I was not married when I had him, and although the motto in the military was be all you can be in the Army, I was being all I could be, and it was more than in the Army, if you know what I mean. And so I had my son, and I remember dedicating him back to God. And, you know, there's women in the Bible that have done that as well. And so when I dedicated him back to God, I remember always saying to him, I established a standard. I said, Brandon, I said, do this for me. He says, what, Mom? And I was just constantly saying, I said, remember that your sperm, I'm just going there with you. For those of you that are offended, go to God about it. I said, remember your sperm is part of your royalty. Please don't go out there and spread it around and give it to anybody. I said, I pray that you will share yourself like that with someone in marriage. I was like, don't make the same mistakes that I made, and at that time as making. I said, because there's fleshly soul ties that are connected to that. And so every once in a while, him and I would, this subject would come up. And then one day he told me, he said, "Mom, I'm not going to have sex until I get married." He says, "That's going to be the covenant that I present to my wife." And he did that. And now they have twins and things of that sort. So although I didn't do it, I asked him to do it. He didn't have to do it, but I just wanted him to know that I had broken the covenant with God to be kept. But I was asking him, as a man, this is a hard thing. Usually that's what people say is harder for them than for women. That's a whole nother story. I said, but I need you to think about it. So let's go over a few definitions. Standards, which is something that I was talking to him about. And I wasn't, I was very transparent with him. I let him know I had broken him. I gave him my whole story. So it wasn't like he could say, "Well, my mom is asking me to do something that she didn't do, blah, blah." No, he knew I told him everything. I let him know when, blah, 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 and all of that. So then I asked him, I said, "So can you establish your own standards?" So standards tell people how to handle you. They give you a level of quality or guidelines or norms or a benchmark or a gauge or a measure or criteria or a level or a grade or an ideal specification or degree or a worth or a caliber of service or requirement or agreement that you tell people of how you want them to handle you and how you'll handle them. And this includes your so-called friends, your associates, your family, your foes, your coworkers, even the policemen that Minister Sheila prayed about, you know, the groups, the leaders, the followers, the co-laborers. It's telling everybody how to handle you. Now, in order to know how to teach people how to handle you, you have to be willing to tell them how to handle you or to show them how to handle you or not to handle you. Well, some of the things that some people don't understand is that we sometimes overlook that spouse that's mistreating you, or we overlook that family member that's disrespecting you, or we overlook that so-called friend that's using witchcraft or whatever on us to try to get us to do things their way. But no, these standards that you have, you need to maintain with everyone. You know, don't put the standards up and take the standards down. So because of that, the standards are really kind of a verbal or implied contract. And so a contract is a written or spoken agreement, especially when one's concerning employment, sales, and being able to live somewhere and things of that sort. And they're enforceable by law. Well, we're not going to get into it as much today, but your salvation, solemn promise, your pledge, your oath, your commitment, your vow, your profession, your affirmation, your attestation, your assurance, your word of honor that you gave to God when you said, "Yes, send me, I'll go. Yes, tell me, I'll obey." But yet, many of us forget that that's a solemn vow that we made. That's a solemn promise that we made. Even in marriage, I do. Some people say, "Well, I just won't say those. I'll come up with my own vows." Well, in America, there are certain things that people are supposedly doing or not doing that's considered adultery, is considered fornication or things of that sort. Well, just work with me because I'm about to share a few scriptures with you. 2 Peter 3:9 says, don't overlook the obvious here. This is the Message version. Friends with God, one day is as good as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you and holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. Another version, Amplified, said he's given us time to repent. Even the NIV version talks about how he's given us time to repent because he's patient. And then even in the King James version, it talks about how, once again, he is long-suffering. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So he's given us time to repent. Even the King James version reminds us again that he's long-suffering because he's not willing to allow anyone to perish. He wants us to repent. So as we're in these relationships on our jobs, and as we're in these relationships with our loved ones, and as we're in these relationships with God himself, and we're making these professions, we have to understand that although the person you're dealing with may have a problem with infidelity, or they may have a problem with giving you that due honor and that respect that you deserve because of your skin color, because of your sexuality, because of whatever reason, we have to understand that we're still in covenant with someone. We're still in an agreement with someone. And so because we're in this agreement with that person, whether we have a contract in place or a vow that's in place or a covenant that's in place, sometimes we have to do things to help people understand what we mean when we say what we mean. So in the government and in various businesses, they put things together as far as a memorandum of understanding. So, yes, we said our vows, and everyone said to sickness and in health. Those were memorandums of understanding. Those were vows that you laid out. It wasn't just the license, but there was an agreement. So those vows that you shared was part of that memorandum of understanding. That was agreement between the two parties for that formal document, for that legal thing that was signaling that you both agreed contract with the covenant that you were making with one another. That was a memorandum of understanding. But some people have to go further. They have to have a memorandum of agreement. It has to be something that's written where there's an exchange being made. Well, guess what? That's the part of the rings. You give them a ring, and they give you a ring. Now there's been an exchange, not just the vows, not just the memorandum of understanding. See, this covenant that you all put together, you put two things in it. You not only vowed the understanding that bound you all, and you did it willingly, I pray. You also now have this exchange, which makes the formal written understanding enforceable, because now there's rings. I have a ring, and they have a ring. Now, how many of you know that even in a court of law, when someone breaches those contracts, those covenants, they go into court to do some type of lawsuit or some type of remedy or some type of counseling or something so that they can fix that thing that you put in place, that oath, that joining of hands, that ratification of what was presented, that thing that they did back in the day when they would stand at the public gates of the cities and make exchanges, or they would exchange cattle, or they would erect or put a heap of stone somewhere to say that this was done, or someone would take off their shoe or do something with salt, or they would do something to show that it was a mutual understanding. So you'll know that I'm talking Bible. Galatians 3:15 says, "Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations. Even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it." Now you say, okay, well, that was that scripture. Well, there's other scriptures. There's plenty of scriptures, and I'm going to share some of them with you. And there's plenty of them in the Old Testament that I could share with you. But I want to make sure that you understand that these are scriptures from today, scriptures that say that when you make a vow, you keep it. And you may say, well, where are you going with this? Like I said, just work with me. Stay with me on this. There are avenues that the world has put in place to null and void contracts. But there usually aren't things that people put in place to null and void vows if they don't have a contract. So contracts sometimes have memorandums of understanding and memorandums of agreements connected to them. And so what we don't all the time realize is that a vow is sacred. It's supposed to be kept. A vow, whether it's an offering or it's a dedication that you made or something you made with your mouth, is usually voluntary. It's usually something that has a suitable type of compensation. So we're not talking about divorce. We're not even going to get into that because that's a whole other message. But I'm talking about the offering of the vow. I'm talking about the things that you put in place to tell the person how to handle you. If I said, "Till death do you part," my parents and even Minister Margot's parents had a lot of things that may have happened in life, but they vowed and said, "Till death do you part." Do you realize we have a rarity? Our parents actually kept those vows after all that they went through. I'm just going to stick to them. After all of the wannabes and all of these things and people that came into my parents' relationships to try to make them break their vows, and the times when it looked like they were going to get a divorce, but they didn't. So they may have separated for a season and things of that sort. It blessed me that even through all of that, that they stayed together. And see, what we don't realize that these extra, what they call them, extramarital affairs and things of that sort, they're things that impact the children. My sister had told a young lady, she said, "I am not responsible for my a particular family member's sins. I cannot address that. That's something you should have addressed when they were alive." And I thought about how many times in my life that I've been the director or a supervisor on a job, and there's people that had been there for years and years, and then they wanted to hold me accountable for what my predecessors had done. Not only was it not fair to me, I half the time didn't even know what had happened or all of the things that surrounded it, because remember, I wasn't there. And because I wasn't there, I could not and I would not be responsible for what that person may have or did not do. So when our parents and our siblings do things and people want us to be responsible for it, you can say you'll accept the responsibility for it. You can say you'll do this or you'll do that. But the reality of it is we can't. I've had people to say, "Well, Cecilia, so-and-so in ministry with you did this or did that, or they didn't do this or they didn't do that." And I tell them, "We'll take that to them. Go ahead and take that to them." But sometimes people aren't courageous enough or bold enough to take the offense or that thing to the other person. So they bring it to you because they think you may be more understanding, or they think that you may allow them to persuade you or whatever reason, or they just believe you may even be a person that they can practice witchcraft on and things of that sort. And I'm saying that to remind us that when we are doing things against God, against one another, we think that it's just affecting us, but it does not always end up being that way. You could be gone on to glory and somebody will still be trying to hold that ought that they have against something you did, against a family member or a loved one or a person at work. So for instance, all of the things they're trying to hold me accountable for who did before me. Where I'm working at, within 7 years, they had 13 supervisors. They had 13 directors. And for my first few years, all I heard about was all of the things that the people had experienced at the hands of the other people. So let me share this with you. One of the things that I learned was that when I signed that line, that dotted line to be the director, I was signing all of the stuff that those people had done before me. The racism, the microaggressions, the micro inequalities, all of these things that they had done, I was now signing up for. My first 3 years there were interesting. Not only did I have to show them how to handle me, I would have to take them and give them various training and things of that sort to help them heal. I was assigned to a group of people that were hurting, that were wounded. They had people make vows to them that didn't keep them. They had people make them promises that didn't keep them. Let me tell you about the promises of God. God said he'll be our strength. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He has plans that he wants to prosper us. He said he'll hear our prayers. He said he'll fight for us. He said he'll give us peace. And he said he'll always love us. Guess what? I had to bring those promises into the workplace. I had to strengthen them because they had been hurt. I had to let them know that unlike the other 13 supervisors, when things got hard, I wouldn't leave them. Although I was praying, I'm going to keep it real. I was praying and asking God, God, can I go yet? He had sent me there for a people that had prayed and he answered their prayers. He had sent me there for a people who could not fight for themselves, but he put me in a position to fight for them at the risk of my own evaluation. But I was willing to do what God said. He sent me, I said, I'll go. He said to do this or that, and I said I'd do it. There were many times they would do things towards me because of whatever other people had did. And God had to teach me how to love them as employees and as team members. And God had to teach me how to give them peace in the midst of knowing I'm not like those other people. I serve a God that's faithful, and he's showing me how to be faithful to you. I serve a God that'll give me help and guidance and wisdom, and I'm going to listen to him. Even when you throw these fiery darts at me for all of the pain and all of the things that you've experienced, I'm still going to help you. God's going to give me the provisions to take care of you. God's going to give me the provisions to even deliver some of you from this place to another place. God has had me actually help people get jobs other places because where they were too wounded and they were too hurt. And they needed to go somewhere else to heal because they couldn't heal there because they kept bringing up the baggage. They kept bringing up the promises that were broken. They kept bringing up the vows that were broken. They kept saying, this person came and they left in 2 weeks. This person came and no one had stayed there in this position that I'm in for more than a year or two. The one that was right before me stayed a couple of years, and then different things happened. But the majority of the people left in 2 weeks to 7 months. What is it that God has sent you to that's made you want to leave, but God said stay, and you've stayed? What is it that God has called you to be faithful to and faithful through? Because God said to do it. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, similar, the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Psalms 33:4 says, for the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done and faithfulness. God is calling us to faithfulness. So whether it's in a marriage or whether it's in a relationship or whether it's in an employment environment or whether it's in a business or whether it's in ministry, whatever it is, God is calling us to a place of faithfulness. That means we have to forgive. That means we have to accept what God allows. That means we have to declare and decree, be it unto me according to your word, not my will, but your will be done. That means that we have to say, God, decrease me and increase you in this situation and all that I'm doing. God, show me how to stop complaining and murmuring instead of bringing it to you. Show me how to go to whoever it is that, as that one person said, I see a spirit of lust or whatever, teach me how to go to them. And teach me that in some cases, what I think I've seen is not what I'm seeing because it's that mind filler or that thought filler that made me think that thing because I was thinking wrong. As Apostle Sandra Thomas taught us all the time, because I'm having thinking because I've been watching the wrong television programs, participating in the wrong conversations. Do you know a quick testimony? I was listening to a family member of mine, and she was telling her spouse, don't talk about my family like that. She said, sometimes when I'm ventilating to you about my family, I'm just doing that. I don't need your input. I don't need you to say anything. I just need for you to listen. And then whatever I've said to you, just let it go. And I thought to myself, I said, God, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could talk about my family and so-called friends to a loved one and then give them the pressure of hearing what I said, but now not listening to what I said. Meaning if I call the person a liar, if I call the person a backbiter, if I call the person whatever, now I want them to look at that person differently. We are the light in a dark world. And yet sometimes we're throwing out things of hurt to our loved one that we want them to act like they've never heard. How fair is that? But we serve a God that we could talk to him about all of these things that we're feeling, all of these things that we're experiencing, and he will not remember it. He will forget about it. But yet we want to do the same thing to people that we say we love, And now we want them to look at our sisters differently, our brothers differently, our cousins differently. How can they? Because they're human. Now, some people can. I'm not saying that they can't, because I remember Apostle Sandra Thomas. I'm not saying she was a god, but you could talk to her about anything and anybody. And she would, to me, crack me up, because she would come back and say, well, what about your part? She would never let you just talk about the other person. She wanted you to bring in there, well, what about you? So if you're saying they're this or that, well, aren't you so-and-so, so-and-so? And it would just bring such a spirit of conviction, her wisdom, and knowing how to let you know you're not so suchy-muchy either. And so going back to the things that I deal with on my job, as the people were complaining to me about these past leaders, I would ask them, well, what did you do? What part did you play? What did you do to make it better? Was that just them? I'm not saying that the microaggressions, the microequalities, and the prejudices did not exist, but did they say something? Did they speak up? Or did they just allow the person to beat them and to beat them and to beat them? We have a responsibility to God and ourselves to tell people how to handle us. And then we need to honor and respect them in that same manner. Yes, I admit, Jesus is an example. He came to his own and they received him not. But he didn't bring down his standard of how people were to handle him. He didn't bring down the standard of what he required of them. What is it that you're requiring of people of how they should handle you? What is it that you're telling people that they must do? Now, what are you doing in order to honor them? What are you doing in order to serve them in faithfulness? What are you doing? Are you just spewing out what you want, what you want, what you want? But are you giving back the same honor? Are you giving back the same respect? Are you saying, God, teach me how to be a walking, living epistle read of men? God, teach me how to be Christ-like. God, teach me how to walk my brothers and my sisters in love, and not only to walk with them in love, but to require them to love me. Let's say no to microaggressions. Let's say no to micro inequalities. Let's say no to manipulation. Let's say no to self-righteousness and witchcraft. Let's say no to everybody wanting to be like you and act like you, but we need them to be like Christ. Let's say yes to, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to submit to you as God has told me to submit to you. I'm not only going to do that, I'm going to remember that James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So as I get into myself and into my feelings and I realize that I'm asking you to do something that I'm not willing to do, I'm first submitting to God and saying, God, I see this. It must go. God, I feel this and it must go. God, I want to be whole. I don't want to hold people accountable for what somebody else did to me. I don't want to try to put them in the same box when you sent them here to deliver me, when you sent them here to be there for me. It is a hard job to say yes to God in the midst of people who are judging and who are hurt and who are wounded. But if you say yes, God will give you the patience to do it. He'll give you the self-control to do it. He'll give you the long suffering to do it. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy, but I'm saying that if you say yes, that in the midst of what God has sent you to, he will equip you for it, and he will help you not break the covenant. He will help you not break your promise, because I said it and I meant it. It's the truth. There were plenty of times I went to God and said, God, can I go, please? And he would say, do you really want to go, or do you really want to please me? I would say, God, I really want to please you. And then he would say, change your confession. And my confession changed to, God, I accept what you allow. Be it unto me according to your word. Not my will, but your will be done. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. God, I'm going to brag on all of the things that you've shown me. God, when I walk away from this and the book is written, it'll say, but God, but God. But God, God said and God did. If you haven't heard anything else on today, I pray that you heard that we are in a contract and a covenant, not only with God, but with one another, on our jobs, in our homes, in the classroom, in our relationships. It doesn't matter what you're doing in life. You are in an established covenant that whether you made a promise or a vow, don't be so quick to break it. That's all that I have. Minister Sheila, I turn it back over to you. Minister Sheila, are you on mute? Okay. Well, I'll just open up the lines for anyone that has any comments, and from there I will come back and I will make the announcements.
Excuse me, I'm at work. I was at a little detained for a minute, but I say excuse me, accept my apology. I just want to thank you for your teaching, your message, and hope we all understand and learn something from it, because yet we all need practice. We all need help. We all need self-control, and we all need understanding among ourselves and others. Like I said, I want to thank you for that message. And as you say, the lines are open for anyone that has a comment and say, excuse me, I just was detained. The lines are open.
Good morning, saints of God. This is Minister Margaret. I just want to thank God for another Sunday. Thank him for another broadcast, and thank the woman of God for delivering the word of God to us this morning. As you were speaking, it made me think of a personal testimony I hadn't thought about in a while, and I had been assigned to a special education class. At that time, those were what they called confined classes, where you would teach everything all day. I had about 18 students, and I was filling in for someone, and the next year came around, and they asked me to come back, and I had been saying, Lord, I want my own job, and this was so difficult. And I came back, and a student said to me, Ms. McCoy, I thank God that you're back because God answered my prayer. I prayed that you would be our teacher this year. And I thought about that. You're in a difficult place, in a place where you're asking the Lord, Lord, could you move me on? Could you do something else? But someone else is praying that you will stay. Isn't that something? You could be the answer to someone's prayer. God is so good, and as Apostle said, he is so faithful. And I just like to say that I appreciate those words this morning. Appreciate you helping us to remember that even in difficult situations, God wants us to have standards. He wants us to stand and to represent him. shall be blessed, woman of God. Be blessed, all the saints that are listening now and that will listen. God has a standard that he wants you to uphold, and you shall do so by faith. God bless you.
Thank you, Minister Margot McCoy, for your testimony and your words. Anyone else? The lines are open. I just want to thank all that is listening, ones that's able to talk, and the ones that are not. I do understand. I just want to say I thank God. I thank him for each and every day. And I thank him for our programs that we have, that we can all learn something from one another, and also someone can learn from, we can all learn from each other. I just want to give thanks to God for today. And just want to say the lines is open. If anyone has a testimony, statements, or anything they would like to say, a prayer or anything, the time is now.
Amen. This is Cecilia. I just wanted to add, I received an inbox message from a family member. Keep our cousins, Tina and Siobhan and Cherie and Birdie and Buster and all of them in your prayers. Their father is transitioning, Jimmy, and one of them sent me a message asking me to pray for the family. So please, please, please pray for them. We know many of us have already experienced a loss, but it's still nothing that we can say that would help them with this transition, but we can pray for them. So let's please pray for them.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Apostle. Father, I give honor to you for blessing us all, for letting us see that no matter what we're going through, we can take it to you. Lord, we can rely on you. We can, no matter what, we can go through an understanding to the teaching that no matter what we're going through. Lord, I thank you for blessing this family and to help the ones that have recently or in the past have lost a loved one, to help us to understand that they're in a better place, that we need all your joy and your life to bring us through our sadness, sickness, our illness. But, Lord, we know you can bless us all. You can send us through it. All our pain and sorrow, our agony, our sickness, and Lord, we need your help. And we thank you to bless our loved ones, our family members that is going through a situation of a lost one, that we know you can bring them through it. You can bless their hearts. You can raise them out of their sadness and let them know that we are all here and we can help and we will understand that, Lord, you have blessed us to be here another day, but they need to carry on with their father legacy, with their family legacy, to let them know that we are all here. We will forever serve the Lord no matter what we're going through. He can bless us through our sadness. But I want you to bless the family and bless all the families and ones we know and don't know, that we can make it through all the past, the present, illnesses and passings that we are going to go through, because no matter what we is, Lord, we know you can bring us up out of all the sadness, the depression, the obsession. But, Lord, we know you can bless us, and I need you to bless us all and to help us understand that we will lose a loved one, but we know you can bring us through it. You can bless our hearts, souls, and minds, and to let us know that you will take care of us and continue to love us and lead us on the way and to bless us all. Thank you and thank you. Amen. And I ask you all to choose this Sundays, to choose Sunday mornings to listen to Let's Talk at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, when Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser. And on Monday night, which is Blog Talk and Facebook by Iron Sharpen Iron, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I believe this fourth Monday night, I believe it is Sylvia Kaiser Wright. If I'm not, please, if I'm wrong, please correct me. I do accept that and understand it and
it's
need
the
that.
Montgomery family. The Montgomery family.
Thank you. Okay, it's Evangelist Missionary Tony Montgomery for our fourth Monday night. Thank you, Apostle, for that. Excuse me for rushing, but I got folks trying to come in, and I want to finish this off. And on Friday nights, let's talk with Minister Sylvia Kaiser, right? On Blog Talk and Facebook at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this is the first Friday. And if I'm wrong again, please correct me because I got everything kind of screwed up right now. I think this is the first Friday, and I think it is Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. If I'm wrong again, please correct me. But I just say I want to thank you, thank you. And to remember our foundational scripture, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Just remember, no matter what, God got you in his hands, your life, on your mind, body, and soul. All you need to do is give it to him and wait on God. He will answer you. It might not be right now, but when he do, it's always on time. Just want to say thank you, thank you. And never stop loving God and his Son, Christ Lord Jesus, because you see he haven't yet stopped loving us. Amen. And have a blessed morning.